To make a donation, visit biblicallycorrectpodcast.org/donate. And if you enjoy this episode, please like, share, and subscribe. Thank you for your support. What kind of disciples are we making? Welcome to the Biblically Correct Podcast. Shalom, y'all. This is the Biblically Correct Podcast, teaching biblical correctness in a biblically incorrect world. My name is Kevin Jeffrey. I am a Jewish follower of the Messiah Yeshua, Jesus, and I love teaching the scriptures. Imagine an entire generation of believers in Yeshua whose testimony was simply this. I came to know Yeshua at a very young age. And because of that, I've never walked in sin or the ways of the world, and I've completely devoted myself to him all the days of my life. Can you imagine what a generation like that could accomplish for God? And yet, in all likelihood, you or the majority of believers you know don't have this testimony. In far too many ways, believers today look and act just like the world. But why is that? Why don't we see whole generations of Messiah followers who more closely resemble Yeshua? Haven't previous generations managed to pass down some level of biblical knowledge, as well as doctrines, traditions, and even fundamentals of the faith? Yet each generation has, by and large, been left to find its own way, to make the same set of mistakes, to be given less definition and guidance. Why? Because the generation before, and the one before them, and so on, only had the goal of making more religious adherents and acolytes, more people of the same religious faith, more believers. What they didn't do was determine to raise up their children and new believers and turn them into followers who were dedicated to walking wholeheartedly after Yeshua in every area of their lives. What they didn't commit to was raising a generation of biblical Messiah-following disciples. In each generation, making disciples has been our one main job, our great commission, as it were. And this job was given to us directly by the Master Yeshua himself, when he said in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, "All authority in heaven and on earth was given to me. Having gone then, disciple all of the world ethnicities, the nations, immersing or baptizing them to the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Ruach HaKodesh, teaching them to guard everything whatever I commanded you." The Master Yeshua gave us this one main job, to disciple. But the reason we're not raising up generations of biblical disciples is because we don't understand what it really means to be a disciple of Messiah, much less how to make more. And this is what I'd like to talk to you about today, discipleship. What a disciple really is, why we as a body haven't been making them, and what we need to start doing right now to fulfill what God has called us as a body to do, and begin making true, completely sold out disciples of Messiah. Now, a disciple is someone who not only follows and adheres to someone else's teachings, but also follows in his footsteps, who strives to emulate and live his life like that person he's following. But what's traditionally happened where it comes to discipleship is that believers either think that disciple is just another name for the 12 apostles, or they misinterpret make disciples as make converts, for lack of a better term. Part of the reason for this confusion comes from incorrectly harmonizing Matthew's version of the Great Commission with Mark's, which records Yeshua saying in chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, "Having gone to all the world, proclaim the good news to all the creation. He who has believed and has been immersed or baptized will be saved." So Mark's version doesn't say to disciple, but to proclaim the good news, to evangelize. But rather than putting discipleship together with evangelism, To most believers' minds, make disciples essentially means evangelize. The Great Commission then becomes evangelize, make converts, baptize them, and hand them a Bible. The discipleship part then supposedly happens through sermons and teaching, and if they're lucky, maybe they'll read some books or watch some videos or join a Bible study too. For most believers, that's discipleship, if they think of discipleship at all. But if that's really discipleship, then where's the fruit? If true discipleship is really happening, then why is the body of Messiah getting weaker today rather than stronger? It's because while there's been an emphasis on evangelism, less so these days, and even on learning and accumulating knowledge, there's been a vacuum of biblical discipleship. Proclaiming the good news and making new believers is just the first part. Those who believe need to then be more than indoctrinated with spiritual knowledge, patterns, and experiences, or encouraged through motivational speaking. They need a change in internal constitution that through Yeshua will build them up to be strong in the faith so that they'll be useful and effective for God's kingdom and won't fall away in times of testing. And this isn't something that happens automatically as a result of being saved or filled with the Spirit. Believers need to become disciples, not of a religion or denomination or faith tradition, but of the Master Yeshua. They need to not just be like students sitting in a classroom, but real-life emulators of the biblical Messiah. They need to not just passively receive from his teachings, but literally made ready to get up and follow. Yeshua doesn't want converts. He wants believers to be turned into followers, who can then think and walk and act just like him. Yeshua wants disciples. And this is exactly what he tells us concerning discipleship in Luke chapter 14, where he describes what kind of disciples he wants us to be. And it looks nothing like pew sitters, seminary students, or yeshiva talmidim. Beginning in verse 26, he says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother," in other words, if you love them more than you love Yeshua, "and wife and children and brothers and sisters, and yet even his own life, he is not able to be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own execution stake and come after me is not able to be my disciple. Indeed, who of you, wanting to build a tower, does not, having sat down, first count the cost to see whether he has the things to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who are looking on begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" Jumping down to verse 33, "So then, every one of you who does not give up everything that he himself has is not able to be my disciple." So here, Yeshua tells us three things that we must do, not think or believe, but do, in order to be his disciple. First, he teaches us that we have to be single-hearted and selfless about following him. Everyone else in our life, including our spouses, our children, and especially ourselves, must come second to following Yeshua. Compared to our love for Yeshua, our love for our family, and even our own lives, should seem like hate. That's how much higher and more intense our love, devotion, and commitment to Yeshua needs to be, if we want to be able to be his disciple. And that love and commitment will be reflected in our priorities and actions. Our purpose in life won't be our other relationships, our job, or to seek our own comfort or pleasure, but to serve and follow Yeshua by proclaiming his salvation and reality and making more disciples. The second thing that Yeshua teaches us that we need to do to be his disciple is that we must willingly follow him and his example of self-sacrifice. He says, whoever does not carry his own execution stake and come after me is not able to be my disciple. The execution stake that Yeshua carried to his own crucifixion represents his readiness to accept the Father's will and to lay down his life for the sacrificial cause of reconciling all humanity to God. And Yeshua is saying that as his disciples, this is our sacrificial purpose and our cause as well, that this is also God's will for us, and that our life purpose should be aimed at this selfless goal, as Paul says in Philippians 1:20, whether through my life or through my death. It's not a promise of an easy life, it's a promise of a life of purpose, because we'll be emulating and representing our master in selfless sacrifice. And the third thing that Yeshua teaches that's required of us to be his disciple may be the hardest to swallow, which is to give up everything we have. He precedes this statement with an analogy of a man who wants to build a tower, but has to first count the cost of building it in order to know whether or not he has what he needs to complete it. So Yeshua is saying to us, as his disciples, that there's a cost that we also need to count. Not just what does it cost to be his disciple, but what does it cost to walk another way? If we walk another way, it costs us a life of peace, of healing, of truth, of righteousness and divine purpose, not to mention the loss of eternal life. But if we follow him, we gain not only Messiah, but all of eternity. And all it costs is everything we have. And when you think about it, that's barely anything compared to the glorious riches we receive in return. Giving up everything we have is the summary concept of discipleship. To be able to be Yeshua's disciple, we need to be most single-hearted toward him, to be most selfless and sacrificial for his message and his cause, and to give up everything and everyone we have that doesn't align with and advance this ultimate purpose. To be Yeshua's disciple doesn't mean to be an ascetic or a convert to a new religion, or to merely believe in him, to pray, to read the Bible, to go to worship services, or to sit in a lecture hall and listen to teachings. A disciple of Yeshua abandons his previous life so that he can follow his master in reaching other people with the truth of God's word, to live a life not of passive belief, but of active faith. A disciple is more than someone who believes. A disciple puts actions to his convictions and allows his life to be transformed according to the teaching and pattern of his master. A disciple is a duplicate of the one he follows, who will then in turn turn around and repeatedly duplicate that pattern in others. So if this is what Yeshua says it takes to be his disciple, then how are we supposed to go about making more? What's the role of the discipler? And how do you successfully impart guidance to a disciple? Though Yeshua doesn't expressly teach us this, we see the results of his discipleship, he just doesn't explain how it's done. Yeshua nevertheless models that internal discipleship mechanism for us in his relationship with the Father. In John 5:19, Yeshua reveals to us that the Son is not able to do anything of himself if he does not see the Father doing anything. For whatever things he does, these also the Son likewise does. And also in John 8:28, Yeshua says similarly, I do nothing of myself, but as the Father taught me, I speak these things. So Yeshua tells us that he says what he's heard the Father say, and he does what he sees the Father doing. In this sense, the Father is duplicating himself in the Son. The Son is a disciple of the Father, in the sense that he's replicating and emulating what he sees the Father do and say. A disciple doesn't have his own set of personal, independent ideas and goals. Like Yeshua is with the Father, a disciple of Messiah is supposed to do nothing of himself, but only what he sees his master doing. And this is the exact same dynamic between fathers and sons that's vividly captured for us in the Vayahavta and Moses' exhortation to Israel. In Deuteronomy 6:4, beginning with the Shema, Moses says, "Hear, O Israel, Adonai is our God, Adonai is one. And you must love Adonai your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you today must be to your heart. And you must repeat them to your sons and speak of them in your sitting in your house and in your walking along the road and in your lying down and in your rising up." So just as Yeshua speaks of how much we need to love him and guard everything he commands us, so does Moses when speaking about God. And Moses says that not only do his commands need to be upon our heart, but that we must repeat them to our children. The Hebrew word here, shanan, doesn't mean to teach, as it says in most translations of this verse, but to whet, to sharpen something by repetitive contact, as one would sharpen a knife by sliding it firmly and repeatedly against a stone. So in the context of this verse, Moses is saying to repeat, to recite the commands again and again in order to slowly and repetitively sharpen and shape the children of Israel, so that they'll also come to love Adonai and take his commands to heart. But this isn't speaking of rote memorization. The father or mother is supposed to repeatedly and constantly point the child to God at all times, in every area of life, no matter what it is you're doing. As Moses says, when you're sitting in your house, when you're walking along the road, until the moment you lie down to go to sleep, and beginning again as soon as you wake up. All day long, the parent is a discipler of his children. They're discipled through constant contact and repetitive example, demonstration, and impartation of Adonai's living word. So as a son responds to a father, in the very same way, a disciple is supposed to respond to his discipler, by saying what he says, doing what he does, learning what he teaches, and then turning around and teaching the same way to others. Yet it's not the kind of teaching that happens in a classroom or through a video or from a pulpit at a distance. This kind of deliberate discipleship is close and personal. It's one-on-one, like a father with a son, or in a very limited group, like Yeshua with the 3 or the 12. In either case, the disciple grants the discipler special access to his personal and private self, which is where the deep, abiding change for Yeshua takes place. And not only is this discipleship up close and personal, it's also incredibly simple. Maybe not so easy, but simple. Wholeheartedly follow Yeshua, know and love his word, then deliberately demonstrate that walk to someone else by talking about it, repeating the word of God again and again in both your words and actions, and spending tons of time together. Biblical discipleship is really not any more complex or complicated than that. We need to understand that a disciple isn't someone who merely sits at the feet of his master, listening to and enjoying all the wonderful insights and truths he has to offer. Disciples aren't just students, they're teachers. A disciple without a teacher isn't a disciple, he's an individual. And a disciple without students isn't a disciple, he's a consumer. We become disciples of Messiah when we imitate our master, and we make disciples when we help transform others to do the same. So if biblical discipleship is this simple and natural and effective, then why, for quite some time, has it been largely missing from the body of Messiah? Well, as I've already alluded to, One gross generalization that can be made about ineffective modern discipleship methods is the emphasis on learning over the pursuit of real and personal relationships between disciples. Believers have been trained to accept and expect formal education modes, including pulpit ministry, not as a substitute for discipleship, but as discipleship. And this means that they expect professional clergy, or at least academically educated individuals, to perform this service. Leave it to the pros, as it were. But not only is such a system abiblical and artificial, it chokes the disciple multiplying process. There simply aren't enough professionals to go around, and discipleship at scale clearly doesn't work, at least not for biblical discipleship. What's been missing is relational, one-on-one discipleship between non-professionals. Elders in the community discipling the younger, more mature believers discipling the newly planted. Another reason why biblical discipleship has been missing from the body is because believers have been trained to be self-oriented about their faith. They come to Yeshua strictly for what they can get from him, how believing in him can benefit them. And they pursue spiritual activities and Christian and messianic media and content that edifies themselves and makes them feel closer to God. But discipleship requires exactly the opposite attitude, where the goal of personal growth isn't personal benefit, but to prepare oneself to benefit others. Believers today are trained to measure selflessness in terms of how often they sit in a pew and how much money they give to the ministry, rather than how much time, effort, emotion, and personal sacrifice they can make and give by taking on the responsibility to raise up and disciple another believer. And probably the third main reason why discipleship has been missing from today's body of Messiah has been the epidemic of biblical illiteracy. Believers don't have the confidence to take on a disciple, and rightly so. Many today might feel familiar with a few scriptures and can sort of repeat their denomination's doctrinal positions, but they're largely unfamiliar with the scriptures themselves and how to understand and apply them in their everyday lives. Believers have been trained not to rely on and be committed to God's word, but to think they're relying on and being committed to God's word. Believers today often don't know how to make godly decisions for themselves and walk righteously in their daily lives because they haven't been discipled in the non-religious, proper, and practical use of the Bible. Believers today don't do what the Bible says because they don't thoroughly know what the Bible says. No one taught them the necessity of eating, drinking, breathing, and constantly relying upon the Word of God. So biblical discipleship has been missing from the body of Messiah because believers have been trained, discipled, with abiblical and unbiblical expectations. Discipleship is missing from the body because the body has been missing disciples. So now that we have this weak, shrinking, self-oriented, biblically illiterate, undiscipled body of Messiah, what are we going to do about it? How are we going to start changing and growing and strengthening and making biblical disciples again? And the only answer to this problem is you and me first admitting to our shortcoming as this generation of disciplers, and then determine that we ourselves need to become true, sold-out, biblical disciples, to start being disciples of Messiah whom God finds worthy to duplicate. We need to be single-hearted and selfless about following Yeshua. We need to willingly follow him into a life of total self-sacrifice, to count the cost, and to give up everything we have to be able to be Yeshua's disciples. We need to know and love and be intimately familiar with God's word. We need to learn how to handle it and understand it for ourselves, and then to use it and fully rely upon what it says in our normal, everyday lives. We need to be actively involved in our children's walk and in the nurturing and imparting of not just biblical information, but modeling practical, real-world application of the scriptures. And we need to not leave the work of discipleship to the so-called professionals, but become engaged in the lives of other believers, new ones, and even faltering, immature ones, and to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in sharpening and shaping them into fully equipped, mature disciples. In John 8:31 and 32, Yeshua teaches us, "If you remain in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." In 13:34, he says that all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. And in John 15:8, the Master commissions us to bear much fruit, and you may become my disciples. Being a disciple of Messiah means self-sacrificially setting our own lives aside and pouring ourselves out in order to multiply the Messiah in us, in others. One way or another, we're all submitted to a master and bearing fruit for their cause. The only question is, whom do you really serve? Decide today to start being a true, dedicated servant of Yeshua, guard everything he says, and then go and make disciples. Thanks for joining me for this episode of the Biblically Correct Podcast. If you like this episode and want to see us make more, then we need your help. Visit our website at biblicallycorrectpodcast.org to support the work of Perfect Word Ministries and MJMI through your much-needed donations. And of course, don't forget to rate, review, share, follow, or subscribe to the podcast to receive notifications whenever a new episode is posted. If you have any questions about this teaching, or if there are any other topics you'd like to see me cover, shoot me an email at kevin@perfectword.org. That's kevin@perfectword.org. Until next time, remember that every scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for refuting, for setting aright, and for instruction that is in righteousness, so that the man of God may be fully equipped, having been completed for every good act. Shalom.